judgment has set, the books have been opened. How shall we stand in that great day, when every thought and word and action, God the righteous judge, shall weigh? How shall we stand in that great day? How shall we stand in that great day? Shall we be found before him wanting, or with our sins all washed away?
Welcome to the Escape for Thy Life radio broadcast. This is a presentation of the independent Thusia Seventh-day Adventist Church, a revival of original Adventism and ancient Christianity. Our speaker is Brother Nyron Medina.
Good day. This is Brother Medina for Thusia Seventh-day Adventist, and please let us start with a word of prayer. Gracious, loving Father, please be with us as we enter into your word. Bless us as we enter into all these historical facts, and help people to understand and to see the facts as it is. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Well, we are continuing our discussion on the rapture teaching, this so-called secret rapture teaching taught by evangelicals and explained these days in the concept that is called left behind. Now, we have shown you in previous programs that this rapture teaching is false, because it tells us that when Jesus comes the second time again, it will be a secret coming, in such that people will just disappear and vanish, be caught up to meet him in heaven. Some of them, their clothes will remain back. Also, if they are flying an aeroplane, since they are caught up, suddenly the plane will crash or the car will crash. A lot of accidents will happen that will kill people. We are told that this is the rapture. We showed you that this rapture teaching has its root or source in the so-called visions of a 15-year-old girl by the name of Margaret MacDonald. And this Margaret MacDonald in the 1830s taught her vision to a church by the name of the Catholic Apostolic Church, a Presbyterian church that changed itself into that name in Scotland. It was run by a pastor by the name of Mr. Edward Irving. And Edward Irving tolerated this vision of Margaret MacDonald. But what we want to do, we want to read the vision of Margaret MacDonald, not the whole thing, the parts that show a secret coming. Now, there is something that we need to take into consideration, and where many people fall into much controversy over whether it was Margaret MacDonald that brought this rapture teaching. It is over the concept of a pre-tribulation rapture or a post-tribulation rapture. Now, tribulation for them is the whole host of troubles that is going to take place upon the face of the earth. The troubles of the seven last plagues, where the sea will be turned in as the blood of a dead man, where we will have fires burning all over the place, burning down countries, where we will have earthquakes shaking, where we will have wars and great killings en masse taking place. We are told before that, the church will be raptured up or caught up to meet Christ in heaven. And then, this, we are told, happens because Christ comes in secret in the sky in heaven. The world doesn't see. The world doesn't notice his coming. They don't see anything. But those people that are so-called Christians are caught up to meet him. And the rest that remain there are going to have to face trouble. So, the fact that the church is caught up before that tribulation period, they call it a pre-tribulation rapture or a pre-trib rapture, we are showing that that whole teaching is false. But some are saying, well, no, the church will be raptured up, but it will be after the tribulation. Now, that is very important, because the writings of the vision of Margaret MacDonald seems to imply that the church will still be on the earth when those tribulation things are taking place and then be caught up after. So her writings give the impression of a post-tribulation rapture. But while it is done so, when Margaret MacDonald explained her vision, she doesn't explain it that way. She explained it as two separate comings, so that one portion of the church is taken up, a second portion of the church remains and faces the Antichrist, and then Christ comes again. So this is how she explains it to people, but her writings, while it doesn't clearly say that way, one can see these type of understandings in her writings. How do we know? We are to look for the idea of a secret coming where we do not know, where the world does not know. And that's how you know she taught a secret rapture. If we look at her document here, I have her document here, this document from the Catholic Apostolic Church. If we look and see what she says, I'm going to read certain parts of it for you, that you would get the idea what she's talking about concerning this secret coming of Christ. Notice I did not say pre-tribulation or post-tribulation, meaning before the tribulation or after the tribulation. We are speaking about a secret coming where the world does not know. Because even though Christ is there in the heavens, there is no big display of lightning and thunder and earthquakes and sea turning as the blood of a dead man, or the sun scorching people with heat before Christ comes. No. They just have a secret coming and people are just caught up. So it is indeed a secret rapture. Now this is the part we are emphasizing from her writings. I quote, now this is her so-called vision that she had. She used to speak in tongues, as they call it, or glossolalia, which really is not a language. They used to levitate, and people identified what was going on there with Margaret MacDonald, and those who were with her were demonic. But again, some say it was of God. We know it was demonic because it presents demonic deceptions, doctrines of devils. That's how we know it to be so. Now, I quote, here is her vision. It was first the awful state of the land that was pressed upon me. I saw the blindness and infatuation of the people to be very great. I felt the cry of liberty just to be the hiss of the serpent, to drown them in perdition. It was just no God. I repeated the words, now there is distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear. Now look out for the sign of the Son of Man. Here I was made to stop and cry out, oh, it is not known what the sign of the Son of Man is. The people of God think they are waiting, but they know not what it is. I felt this needed to be revealed, and that there was a great darkness and error about it. That is about the sign of the Son of Man. She continues, but suddenly, what it was burst upon me with a glorious light. I saw it was just the Lord himself descending from heaven with a shout, just the glorified man, even Jesus. But that all must, as Stephen was, be filled with the Holy Ghost that they might look up and see the brightness of the Father's glory. Let me just stop here for a while. So here she is saying, people do not know what the sign of the Son of Man is. It's a mystery to them. But she says she got it as a flash of light. It is just Jesus himself descending from heaven with a shout. It is just a glorified man, even Jesus. That's what she said. But then she adds, but that all as Stephen was, be filled with the Holy Ghost, that they might look up and see the brightness of the Father's glory. Now, catchy point. If Jesus Christ is literally coming in heaven with the brightness of his glory, why must we be filled with the Spirit to see that brightness of the glory? The whole world should be able to see. The normal person should be able to see. But she's telling us that they cannot see because they do not have the Holy Spirit like Stephen. Now let's quote. I continue. She said this. I saw the error to be that men think that it will be something seen by the natural eye. But this spiritual discernment that is needed. The eye of God in his people. End of quote. Did you see that? So here she clearly say the second coming of Jesus Christ, when he descends with a shout, will not be seen by the naked eye. You have to have the Holy Spirit in you to see it. That's a secret coming. Because according to the Bible, the whole world is supposed to see it. Everyone is supposed to see it. But no, this is telling us here that you will not be able to see it with the naked eye. That you have to have the Holy Spirit. So if somebody comes and tell you, well, no, Mrs. Margaret MacDonald didn't teach anything about a secret rapture. They're lying. She did teach it. Here she says it again. Let me quote. I saw the error to be that men think that it will be something seen by the natural eye. But this spiritual discernment that is needed, the eye of God in his people. Did you see that? So she's saying they will not see it with the naked eye. So what is it? A secret coming. That's the point. It's a secret coming. But let's continue a little lower down again and see where this secret coming is enhanced. She says this. This was the oil the wise virgins took in their vessels. This is the light to be kept burning, the light of God, that we may discern that which cometh not with observation to the natural eye. Did you hear that? Let me repeat that again for all those of you who are listening out here, that it is Margaret MacDonald in the 1830s, a 15-year-old child under the influence of demonic powers that brought about this secret coming of Jesus Christ. Even Jesus says he will not come in secret, even though Jesus said that. Here she is again. This was the oil the wise virgin took in their vessels. That is the light to be kept burning, the light of God, that we may discern that which cometh not with observation to the natural eye. So in other words, she's saying that the second coming of Jesus Christ will not be with observation to the natural eye. She continues, only those who have the light of God within them will see the sign of his appearance, which she said earlier before, is the Lord Jesus himself descending from heaven with a shout. So she says it is only those, I repeat again, only those who have the light of God within them will see the sign of his appearance. No need to follow them who say, see here or see there, for this day shall be as the lightning to those in whom the living Christ is. End of quote. Did you see that? So even though Jesus Christ says that as the lightning shineth in the east and is seen even unto the west, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Even though Jesus said that, what does this child tell us? She tells us that that is only for those who have the living Christ in them to see. So only those who have the living Christ in them will see this lightning bolt of Christ's second coming. But the world will not see, because it is not to be seen by the naked eye. This is what she says. This is what she tells us. And then she tells us, I saw that we must be in the spirit that we might see spiritual things. Did you see that? So we have it clear here in her vision that she actually taught a secret coming of Jesus Christ, a secret rapture. And that's the point here. Not whether it is post-tribulation, after the tribulation, or pre-tribulation, before the tribulation. That she explained to people when she explained this vision. That's the difference. Now, here again is her statement as we go a little lower down. I quote, I felt that those who were filled with the Spirit could see spiritual things and feel walking in the midst of them, while those who had not the Spirit could see nothing. So that two shall be in one bed, the one taken and the other left, because the one has the light of God within, while the other cannot see the kingdom of heaven. End of quote. Did you see that? So she even draws from the statement in Matthew where two shall be in the field, one shall be taken and the other left. And she used that to show a secret rapture, a secret coming. Instead of putting the person in the field, she just put the person in a bed. Because she says, so that two shall be in one bed, the one taken and the other left. And why? Because one has the light of God within, while the other cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Did you see that? So she said it is only those who are filled with the Spirit could see spiritual things and feel walking in the midst of them, while those who have not the Spirit could see nothing. So all this she uses to teach a secret coming, that the second coming of Christ will be secret. This is how she presents it. And so we have Margaret MacDonald in her 1830 vision that she claimed she had as the source of this concept of a secret rapture, a secret coming. And she did teach a secret rapture and a secret coming. Now when it was called to explain this vision, because the vision also have the church facing the Antichrist and all the trials that are on the, upon the face of the earth, she had to account for, if you're saying that Christ is coming to take the church in secret, how is it that the church now is going to face all these problems? And that's how she divided it in two. Part of the church taken and part left back. But that is not what is written in the vision. But when she explains her vision, that's what she explains to people. Let me quote for you here a blog, but this blog is referring to the book, The Rapture Plot, which is a 300-page book written by a man by the name of Dave McPherson, who did a deep, deep research into the historical sources of the rapture and got all the ancient documents associated with the church that Margaret MacDonald was in and how she began to teach it in the church, how the church and the pastor reacted. I quote here on page 8, Margaret MacDonald's vision, Rapture. It says this, the September 1830 Morning Watch, now Morning Watch was a magazine written by Edward Irving's church, this Catholic Apostolic Church. I continue, the September 1830 Morning Watch, Edward Irving's journal, taught that Philadelphia would be raptured before the Great Tribulation and Laodicea left behind on earth to face the Antichrist. Do you see how they divide it up? But why did he teach that? Why did he teach part of the church will be taken and part will be left? Part will be taken before the tribulation and part after the tribulation. Why did he teach that? I continue to read. Their previous June issue, notice this, that the September issue taught this two divided, separated second coming. But their previous June issue had been teaching only the historic post-tribulation coming. What does that mean? The June issue of the Morning Watch and others after it taught that Christ would come after the tribulation. But by the time September 1830, they had changed, and they were now teaching that part of the church will be taken, Philadelphia, and part of the church will be left, Laodicea, and the Laodiceans will be taken after the tribulation, but the Philadelphians will be taken before the tribulation. Now look at how they change in their teachings. Why did they change in their teachings? That's the point. It continues. It says this. Their previous June issue had been teaching only the historic post-tribulation coming. Irving and his followers revealed in other little-known writings that they had changed from post-tribulation to pre-tribulation after they had traveled from London to Port Glasgow and met Margaret, and she had explained what her revelation meant. Did you see that? They changed because she explained what her revelation meant. Even Darby met and visited her and then had the same change sometime later. Did you see that? So, it continues. In her revelation, she sees part of the church raptured before the wicked one Antichrist is revealed, while the rest of the church, which isn't worthy enough, endures the trial by Antichrist. End of quote. Did you see that, my dear people? So this is how this post-tribulation and pre-tribulation idea happened. The idea of Christ coming before the tribulation, pre-tribulation, or Christ coming after the tribulation, post-tribulation. That's how it happened among them. That's why they divide up the church. So they did it under the influence of Margaret MacDonald. But it was Margaret MacDonald that taught this secret rapture, this secret second coming of Jesus. And when called upon to explain her vision, she is the one that gave this idea of part of the church taken and part left back. And that part that is left back to face the tribulation. And that's how Edward Irving and his church changed in their teachings. They changed being influenced by a 15-year-old child, Margaret MacDonald, who claimed to have the gift of the Holy Spirit and who claimed to prove that she had prophecy by floating and by speaking in tongues, etc., etc. You ask, why would Edward Irving in his church believe that? Because they believe that the gifts of the Spirit in miracles were to come back upon the church, and he set up a church for that, the Catholic Apostolic Church. And when he set up a church for that, here was a member of his church seemingly having the same spirit. In that church, way in the 1830s, they used to do as Pentecostals do today. They used to shout, scream, fall down, beat up. Some of them get up and running all around the church as if demons were chasing them, and speaking in tongues as they claim it, which when investigated is not a language, it is just glossolalia, it is just gibberish. And they used to do that. So that was Pentecostalism before Pentecostalism in the 1900s. And that's where this so-called secret rapture teaching came up. It was taken up by a man by the name of John Nelson Darby, who got it from Margaret MacDonald. Now, he spent 3 days with her, visiting with her, to learn what she was teaching. They were sent by a group of brethren members because their church were called the Brethren, and they were sent to investigate what was going on. Although Darby said those spiritualistic manifestations were demonic, yet he still took some of the teachings there and mixed it with his dispensationalist teachings. Yes, my dear people, that's what he mixed it with, his dispensationalist teachings. And here we have presented to you evidence that Margaret MacDonald did teach a secret coming of Jesus Christ, a secret rapture. She did teach that. Say somebody come and tell you, oh no, she didn't teach it. Yes, she did. We quoted it for you. We quoted her original vision for you. Now, if we quickly look at Matthew 24 and we read from verse 22, we would see Jesus Christ destroying this idea of a secret coming. I quote, "And except those days should be shortened, there shall no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, Behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not." Now, do you see what Christ is doing here? He is debunking any idea of Christ's second coming where the world doesn't see, so that if he's in the desert, people wouldn't know and they will have to go to find him. Or in some secret chambers, people wouldn't know, so they will have to go and find him. He's debunking that. He's saying that is not true. And then he continues. He says this, "For as the lightning shineth out of the east." Notice this. "For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For whithersoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together." End of quote. Did you see that? So what is Jesus telling us here? When there is a dead body there, how do you know? You look in the sky and you see a lot of carrion crows circling around, so you know that there is a dead body lower down. And Christ is using that to show, so you will see the second coming of Jesus Christ. It would be with observation. You see the lightning in the east, you see it even unto the west. It is coming with observation to the naked eye. But this is what Margaret MacDonald rejected. And this is what she showed not to be true, could only be seen if you have the Holy Spirit in you. But we will need to talk about this again. So we will talk about this again. Until then, may God bless you and may God help you to see that the teaching of a secret rapture is false. It is not true. When Jesus Christ comes, as the lightning shines in the east and is seen even unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. So may God bless you until we meet again through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for another Escape for the Life Read broadcast. Remember that you can call us at 528-2123. That's 528-2123 or 531-7558. We do look forward for you joining us again next week when we'll present to you another edition of Escape for Thy Life. Until next time, may God bless you.
How shall we stand in the great day? How shall we stand in the great day? Shall we be found before Him once?